Well, let's get started with this morning's Dharma in Pyjamas. So good morning, and very glad that you're all here. And the topic for today is, well, why should I wear a face mask? Because it's been quite a topical thing recently. And I wanted to investigate what the Buddhist take on wearing a face mask is. And I'm not sure if you've ever had the thought, why should I wear a face mask? Or perhaps the aversion towards wearing a face mask. And, you know, so many people don't like it. And I really started thinking, well, why? Why don't we like it? I mean, there's the obvious ones of we feel muzzled and feeling muzzled like an animal, you know, it's quite disconcerting and degrading. There's the obvious ones of that it's harder to breathe. We can't breathe. It's itchy. It hurts our ears, especially if we wear glasses and then we have it around our ears as well. It's super inconvenient. It's very difficult to communicate when we have half of our face obscured. And literally what it is, when we put on a mask, it's literally like rubbing our faces in it. And what we're rubbing our faces in is our helplessness. And I think this is why we have such a strong visceral reaction of aversion and even repulsion towards wearing a face mask. That when we put a mask on, it's literally in our face our helplessness about the virus, about whether we live or die, whether we get sick or not, our common human condition. And most of the time we can push that aside. It's not in our face. But by putting a mask on, it is literally in our face. And so this happens at a much deeper level than an intellectual level. It's deep and instinctual. By putting on a face mask, it literally embodies our helplessness in the face of not just COVID, but all of samsara. It shows we have no control and that we have to live with something that we dislike. And so every ounce of our being just goes, no, I don't want to do it. And it's as if by putting on the mask, it's a sign of capitulation that we've given in, you know, it's a sign of weakness that we've finally given in to the new reality. And none of us want this to be the new normal, do we? That fills us with dread. What if it's always going to be like this from now on and all those wonderful days are gone? So just by putting on a mask, it brings all of this up. It also reminds us of death and impermanence, doesn't it? So why are we putting on a mask? Because we don't want to die. I mean, that's usually our first kind of thought of why we put one on. And so, of course, it's not even just a response of dislike. It's actually a response of repulsion. We are repulsed by death and disease. And biologically, it's built in that way because it keeps us safe. We keep away from death and disease so that we don't, you know, get exposed to contagion. But in terms of putting on a face mask, then all of this happens just by this one simple action, and we're not necessarily aware of it. But it's why then in the news and in our community, we have such a strong reaction to even the thought of having to wear face masks. So the Buddhist take on wearing a face mask. If you remember that story, just when we're talking about how, you know, all sentient beings want happiness and no one wants suffering. No one even wants just a small feeling of a thorn in one's thumb or one's toe. Even just a small thing like that can become unbearable. And this is actually what happens, that when we focus on our suffering, it becomes all-encompassing. But if we think of the benefits then we can start changing our instinctual response. Our whole experience changes. So instead of just having a splinter in one's thumb going, oh, I can't bear it, I can't bear it. If we think of the benefits of having a little pinprick, for instance, if you've ever had acupuncture or you've ever had an anesthetic needle, very horrible experience, like, you know, getting an anesthetic needle when you go to the dentist. But we don't think necessarily about that horrible experience. Or if we do, then we just don't go to the dentist, do we? But what we think about is the benefits of anesthetic. And that gets us through. It changes the experience. With acupuncture, we think of the benefits of that little pinprick and it gets us through. And actually, we can relax our mind by thinking of the benefits until it can actually almost, say, with acupuncture, become a pleasurable experience. We can have the sensation of it working. So it's just by changing our attitude from going, no, I can't bear it, to remembering the benefits. So how do we remember the benefits of a face mask? Well, for instance, the first responders, you know, the frontliners, as we call them, the doctors and the nurses wearing PPE for hours and hours. You know, they get bruised noses, they get really sore ears, they get rashes all over their face because of the humidity. And yet they go through this day after day after day because they want to protect. They want to protect us. They want to protect themselves, and they're thinking the benefits, and that way they make the sacrifice. There's a really nice touch too of, you know, how we feel so kind of homogenized when we're wearing a mask, who's who. And so those photographs in ICU where everyone just looks like they're dressed up like aliens, don't they? And so then the nurses take a photo of themselves and pin it to the front. So there's a nice smiling face right at the heart area, you know, whilst you're covered in all of these masks and things like that. So we can humanize it. So as a Buddhist, wearing a face mask can actually be a practice of non-harm. It is literally non-harm. We're refraining from harming others. And by refraining from harming others, we're also protected. So this is one of the first things about wearing a face mask is that mostly it protects other people, which is great, isn't it? It also can protect us, especially the better mask that we have, the more protected we are. But basically, it really shows our interdependence, doesn't it? That if all of us act to protect others, we have a safe society. So non-harm. It took me ages to get my head around what non-harm even was, because it's a non-thing, isn't it? It's a not doing anything. How does that count? What even is it? But this is a really clear example, isn't it? Physical distancing, wearing a mask, washing your hands, all of those things. We're not overtly helping others, but we are literally practicing non-harm. And that is a wonderful thing to do. And we can do that with this real care for all sentient beings. As a Mahayana Buddhist, it's even more. Not only is it non-harm, but it's cherishing others. It's actually practicing a generosity of giving protection, of saving lives. So out of the three types of generosity, you know, sharing our things, giving protection, saving lives, and giving the Dharma. So, you know, this one, how often do we get to save lives? Not that often, but just by putting on a face mask, we can be literally saving lives. So practicing that generosity of protecting not just the vulnerable, but everybody. And it can be a practice of embodying, literally embodying the Bodhisattva ideal. Physically practicing it with body, speech, and mind. So I'm going to demonstrate. Here we have my face mask. And as we put it on, we can think, oh, okay, I am going to embody my bodhicitta attitude, not just lip service. So as I'm covering my lips, I'm going to be thinking, I'm not just giving lip service to being on the bodhisattva path, I'm going to practice it. And then as we hook it around our ears, so the left ear, we hook it around wisdom. May I develop the perfect, all the wisdom wing. And the right side, compassion. May I develop the compassion wing. So we put them on like that. Then we remember, as people often say, you know, it's really important to listen rather than speak. So we've got our ears primed to hear the cries of other sentient beings. And then I'm also giving not just the generosity of protecting lives, I'm also giving the generosity of the Dharma, because I've used my mask as an educational opportunity. So I was trying to think, what can I do, just really short? So as a volunteer, I thought the best thing would be to just write welcome on the front. And then here, I don't want to be preaching, so I'm not saying cherish others, I'm saying cherishing others. That's what I'm trying to do. And it might give people pause, who knows? Or maybe I've spelt it wrong and they're just looking at that, I don't know. So we've covered our mouth, and when we cover our mouth, then we can think right speech, isn't it? I'm going to watch my speech in particular and make sure that what I say is motivated by bodhicitta. And the fact that we have a little bit of difficulty breathing is a very good thing, because it makes us mindful about our speech. And we put it on physically, so we're watching our physical actions. And then if we have difficulty with breathing, then we can use it as a Tonglen practice. That just by me not being able to breathe, may others be able to do so. And in fact, what we can do is, if you have tantric vows, you can even use it not just for the Buddhist vows and the Mahayana vows, but the tantric vows. You know, in Guru Puja, when we, or Chocho, when we retake the tantric vows, and right at the end it says, I will deliver those not delivered, liberate those not liberated, give breath to those unable to breathe, and place all beings in a state beyond sorrow. So when we put on our mask and we can't breathe properly, we can think, may we help others breathe. And then when we take it off, then again, we practice mindfulness. And so we're thinking, may none of my actions ever harm others. May none of my disturbing emotions ever harm others, and may there never be contagion amongst others. So it's like a purification process, isn't it? That just like we purify so that our negativities don't snowball and become bigger, when we take off our mask, we're very mindful that we don't become contagious to everybody else and we dispose of it properly. So there's your purification practice right there. So isn't that amazing? Just in this one tiny little action. So then, instead of it becoming a chore or something that we dislike, we can use our thought transformation to take that dislike and renew our determination on the Dharma path. Because so many times Lama Zorpa Rinpoche said, you know, if we're not remembering death and impermanence, if we don't remember death, we can't practice Dharma. So by putting on this mask and feeling that repulsion, that intense aversion, it is literally helping us remember death. Not just intellectually, but literally in your face, death in your face. And this is absolutely fantastic for a Buddhist. It's like life hacking for a Buddhist. So we put on a mask, we remember death and impermanence, and then everything that we do, it's not worldly anymore, is it? It's thinking about what happens next, not just this life, not just a materialistic life, but what happens next, and am I ready for death? Because how come I feel such revulsion towards death anyway, clearly, because I'm not ready. If I was a really good tantric practitioner, I would be thinking, fantastic, there's my great opportunity, I'm ready, let's go, whenever it happens, fantastic. But the fact that we have this aversion towards it, or that, well, at least I do, is that I'm not ready. So it's like taking your temperature. It's a spiritual thermometer right there. How ready are we to meet our death? Am I ready today? Clearly not. Better work at it some more. So instead of becoming an inconvenience, it's a reminder. And actually, the mask is an inconvenience because we don't want to remember death and impermanence. It's not the mask itself that's the inconvenience. It's that feeling, isn't it? And so once we recognize that it's not in the mask, it's not the thing out there that's causing the problem. The thing out there is mirroring what's going on in our mind. And how wonderful to be able to see it, to catch it right there. Because so many times we just smooth it all through, don't we? Because we're intellectually, we can do that. But now this is really where the rubber hits the road. So, you know, from remembering death, then finally now we're on a spiritual path. Then what we do doesn't have to be corrupted by the worldly concerns, the unstable worldly concerns. Everything that we do will be with this remembrance of is this even worthwhile in the face of life and death? So the wonderful thing too about, wearing masks or anything like this is just on a worldly level, it's incredibly effective. I notice this when I go to the supermarket wearing a mask, everyone stays away from me. This is a good thing. It's good on a worldly level, but it's also good for my ego. So again, we can use that, can't we? That instead of taking it personally and craving everybody liking us all the time, including complete strangers on the supermarket aisle, when they recoil from you, notice, wow, what's happening emotionally here? That in itself is excellent boot camp. So, you don't have to take it personally. Your ego gets whittled down a little bit. But in the big scheme of things, this is great. I'm protecting myself and I'm protecting others. So there was a guy in Italy that did a study about this, how effective wearing face masks were just for physical distancing. So Italians, very, very touchy-feely. I can't imagine how much they're just like their society is completely turned upside down that you can't kiss everyone on the cheek how many times when you meet them. So he got some of these people to wear these belts with a sensor in the belts that could tell how close people were to you or not. And so then the people wearing the face masks and or the people not wearing the face masks. So he found in Italy when the lockdown happened and people were only allowed out to go to the shops and back again, for those essential things, that when they would pass themselves in the street, just because they were missing human company so much, people would just walk much closer to each other as they passed by without having any awareness that that was happening. Because we just crave that human interaction. And I remember when the lockdown first happened in Brisbane, we're all standing there in reception at Lungri Tumpa Centre talking about this lockdown, but we're all in a huddle. We're in this huge room, but we're all really close together, instinctually gathering together like that. Anyway, so this guy in Italy, then he had the people wear the masks walking down the street and with their sensor belt on. And of course, if you're wearing a mask, people would veer away from you. So the mask helps for physical distancing. It reminds people, and it reminds people that it's not normal at the moment. So it's inconvenient, but it's really useful. Because if I go to the supermarket without a mask and no one else has a mask, I'm not that focused. I just forget. We just revert back to habit. And then, of course, then it's too late. If someone's walking around asymptomatic, it's too late. Wearing a mask also helps us to remember not to touch our face. That's the other thing too, isn't it? Because we're always going, oh, it doesn't work. So it helps us with that kind of mindfulness. And I mean, the other good thing too about wearing a mask is that, of course, we should wear them properly, and especially if we're in an environment where, you know, we're, say we're working with infected people. But just out generally, all the studies have shown that even if you just have a one-layer mask and you put it on wrong, it's still way more effective than none because of all these other things that happen. And because the main thing about wearing a mask is we are protecting others from us. So, you know, it's definitely something is better than nothing. And all the various countries where they've had wearing a mask just out in public, you know, a lot of the Malaysian countries and things, Asian countries, where people are used to it, it's like 80% less contagion because of protecting the group like that. But, of course, all of these reasons aren't enough if emotionally we're still recoiling. So that's why it's so important that as a Buddhist, we really find the deep meaning in it. And then we can use it as part of our path to enlightenment. So probably the last thing that I wanted to say was that it can really help then also to clean up our karma. Because I was thinking, what's the karmic story that is happening here? And just taking Australia, that, you know, I might have mentioned before, there's an ad on telly about Australians caring for each other. That's what we do. We're always there caring for our mates, looking out for each other. We're all in this together. I can't remember what the ad was. It's some like insurance ad or something. And it's just telling this wonderful story, how Australians are always there for each other in an emergency. And it's just not true, is it? I mean, our culture hasn't looked after the vulnerable. In fact, it completely neglects the vulnerable. Childcare workers, so low paid. Aged care, insecure work, low paid. You know, working conditions in hospitals. So these really essential caring for others jobs, we neglect all the people that do it and disregard them. And it's a real low status kind of job. And now, karmically, we find ourselves unable to connect with our children, with our aged, with the sick because of the virus. So karmically, you know, when we look at the karmic results of things, the most heavy kind of result is where we're born, you know, the rebirth that we take, whether we take birth as a human being, a fortunate life, or as an animal, pretty much less fortunate, as an insect or a fish, even worse, you know, less fortune. So that's the big karmic response result. But then there are the other karmic results of what happens to us in that life that we have. So here we are, a human being. We're in Australia, which is a pretty charmed place to be compared to the rest of the world. But what happens to us in this life in terms of how we act and the experiences that we have. So kind of our personality, how we go about in the world, and what happens to us. And then we have the environmental result that's largely shared amongst us. So in terms of what's happening to us now, we're really, a lot of us individuals are experiencing the result of having neglected others, neglected our loved ones. Now we cannot see them. We can't go see them in the aged care home. We can't hold their hand when they're dying. So, and you know, the young kids, how are they going to socialize? How are they going to like flirt with each other when they can't even see each other? I mean, it just breaks my heart. I can't even imagine growing up in a time like this. So we're having, this is a karmic result of having neglected those very ones, the vulnerable. And then we have the environmental result shared amongst us. So if we really want to do something about this pandemic, we have to work on the karmic causes as well as everything else. So we've got to work on finding a vaccine and a cure and the best preventative measures and be really smart about it all. And then make sure that all of these things can actually work. And what makes them work is changing our karma. When we have those internal conditions lined up, when we do that internal purification, then it clears the way for these external things to become successful. If we don't do that internal work, doesn't matter how good those external things are, they're not going to work or it won't last very long. So this is actually something where instead of feeling helpless, now we as Buddhists have a crucial job, which is to clean up our karma. And, you know, we can do this in our mind. We can have the attitude we're doing it for everybody. And then it becomes very powerful, becomes, you know, it can become a bodhicitta motivation, not just a personal one. And so then when we put on our mask, cherishing others, instead of it being an inconvenience, it can remind us we're cleaning up our karma. By going through this inconvenience, it reminds us we're already in this situation. So I hope I've put out some kind of things to consider and discuss. I hope I've convinced you that this can be such an incredibly worthwhile practice, just a tiny little action like this, cherishing others, that we can really look forward to it. And then, you know, we can embody, I put on my wisdom, put on my skillful means, and then with our communication, we can do like secular mudras, isn't it? It's like, hello, welcome. Hang on a second. I don't know. Not sure. So nice to see you. All of these things. So here we are when we're doing our various pujas, doing the tantric mudras. It's a way of actually having the chi flow through our body, of unifying body, speech, and mind so that they become bigger than the parts. And so when we find that we can't communicate as clearly with our face muzzled, we can actually use it to start embodying those mudras of caring for others, helping others, literally expressing our care. So that in itself can be incredibly helpful. So thank you so much for your attention. Dharma in pajamas today, food for thought. I was going to put practicing non-harm, cherishing others, and welcome. If you come up with any other ones, please let me know. So let's dedicate our efforts this morning. Thank you so much for attending, and by all the effort that we put in, may we quickly be able to overcome this pandemic and come out the other side with a far better, more caring, wise society. So if you'd like to turn your videos on, and I'm just going to see, have I allowed you to unmute yourselves? Yep, you can unmute yourselves. What do you reckon, folks? Have I convinced you?
I'm already
convinced.
I was pretty much convinced.
Good. I gave it everything I got. Jean, what do you reckon?
Well, it's really good because I'm a nurse, and like for 20 years now, I've been looking after people. I'm an ICU nurse.
Oh. So
I have looked after many people with many infections, you know, when HIV came out, and then there was tetanus, and then there's TB, and then there's some lung infections that nobody really knows what it is. So people have been in separate rooms, and I've got to wear the full gear. So I've been doing that for a long time. And I've also just general infections, you know, like MRSA and just the usual,
just the usual killers, yes.
There's plenty of them. And there's infection wards in the hospital as well. So I've also worked in them, being an agency nurse. So I've done lots of different work. Since becoming a Buddhist, like I was working last weekend in ICU, and there was no COVID here that I've had to work with, although I've had a few scares where I've been working away and then somebody's developed some sort of infection, and they say, oh, we better have a COVID test. We go, oh, and all of us nurses look at each other and go, okay, we better, hopefully it'll all be good. And it's all been good. But by the time they get to ICU, they've usually had all their tests. So it'd be very challenging if you're working in emergency. Right in off the street. So I'm pretty protected in that way. That's my work. But it's been like last weekend, being a Buddhist and, you know, with the different things that I'm studying, and also all your Dharma in Pajamas are wonderful. And I've, you know, all these little bits all have been really helpful to me. And I was thinking about that. Like I take my apron on and off. Like every time I go to the patient, I have an apron and I have gloves. And then I go and I wash my hands, I take it off. And then back I go again. So I do that many, many times a day. And I was thinking then, like, you know, how can I use that in a Buddhist?
Yeah. So with the apron, so any kind of clothes that we wear, it can represent the three higher trainings. So, you know, the three types of robes that the Buddha wears represents the three higher trainings. So that's that middle scope trainings that we have in common with the middle scope, that you need to develop those to become liberated from samsara. So every time you put on your apron, think, I am protecting myself with the three higher trainings.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the three higher trainings, ethics,
yeah,
concentration, and wisdom.
Yeah.
And so they're higher because it's to do with complete liberation from samsara. But to be an ICU nurse, you need ethics. You can't have favoritism between patients. You need concentration.
Mm-hmm. Lots of that.
And you need wisdom.
Yes, that's true.
So every time you put it on, you can go, please, Buddhas, help me to have perfect ethics, concentration, and wisdom so I can help my patients, and so I can also lead them to enlightenment.
That's good. And so the other thing I wanted to say was out in the community. So I just, when I go and do my shopping, so I always wear a mask, but I've come because to protect me, but also to protect everyone. So we can, you know, and also I've schooled my housemates and my family in how to take it on and off, because that's also something that people don't know what to do. And, but you're right, when I go out shopping, people just step aside, or they look at you and they go, oh, and they, you know, occasionally I haven't worn a mask, and people are just oblivious to it. So I find it's better to wear a mask, but also just recently, I'm always looking at all the numbers and what's going on with everything, obviously. Today there was a story about a Japanese lady, you've probably heard, who flew back to Japan. She was in Brisbane and she flew to Sydney, then she flew back to Japan, and she's been tested positive when she got back to Japan, and she'd been at the Green Slopes in a cafe on Sunday. So you just never know.
You know, you just never know.
So it's best, because then you're not going to spread it and you're also not going to get it yourself. So, and I've got to be very careful with when I'm working to make sure that I'm, because, you know, as a nurse, you have to have all your injections and all of that as well. And just be generally, I could tell you many, many stories, but I'll leave that for another day.
Isn't that interesting? Like, because we never know, and it's always in hindsight that we go, oh, I should have been whatever. But the reason that we don't is that real subtle grasping at permanence. It just pervades everything. And we don't even notice, just like leaks out into everything that we do. Yes. And then we go, oh, I should have la, la, la. But the reason we weren't even thinking that way is because we just assume we'll be fine.
It's really good to just to remember all those things like the death and impermanence, because I know myself, I think, oh, I'm fine, you know. And then occasionally I come across something or I remember my age because I'm getting older and I go, oh, you know.
Yeah.
So it's good to remember that, because I'm not ready either.
No, well, it's very clear I'm not ready because of how I feel when I put on a mask, isn't it?
Yeah. So
it's kind of better to know.
Yes, that's right. So, yeah.
And then how do you feel like when you're walking through the supermarket and people recoil? What happens then? Does it kind of demoralize you? Or?
No, not really. I just think, oh, it's good. You've noticed, you know, it's good. And then sometimes I wait, like, you know, people are really
push,
you know, trying to get into the, and they don't, all the aisles are full. So I just stand there and wait for quite a while. And if I'm waiting too long, I just turn around and walk the other way. But mostly I wait and then they look at me like, you know, I say, I'm just waiting. Yeah. And then I sort of go by, and some of them know to move forward or backward, but many people are so unaware of all of that, that they just stand in the middle of the aisle. And don't realise. And yes, it seems like everything's normal again because we don't have any and much in Queensland. And I understand why people are doing that. But it's, and people also feel that they're immune to it, that it's not going to happen to them. Because you see that, I see that a lot in my work. They can't believe what's happened to them or why they're in this situation.
Yeah.
So all of those things.
Yeah.
And so it's just a good reminder. And then people go, but why did this happen to me? And then you go through all the things of this, 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 and this. And they go, people are so unaware.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it can become this real life hack for our awareness, can't it?
Yeah. And that's good. And it's good to think of it in the way of karma too, because, you know, we have definitely neglected our aged care. And I work in aged care sometimes. I work everywhere. We've definitely neglected that. And our people with disabilities, we've definitely neglected that.
I know, so, that's right. I was just thinking, like, someone said on the news a while ago, if there had been this amount of deaths in childcare as there is in aged care, there'd just be complete uproar.
There would be.
So there's that favouritism there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite sad because they've got so much to offer the elderly, but we've sort of just put them over there out of the way, you know.
Yeah, that's right, with cult of youth. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's very revealing, isn't it? It's really brought things to a head in a way.
So we need to be, hopefully this will help change a few things, you know, and also the environment, the same thing.
And then hopefully also we can learn from what's happened in Victoria and then what's happening kind of edging through in New South Wales.
Yes.
Just the idea of just preventative measures, even that is pretty life-changing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's one of the main essential practices of Buddhism is preventative measures.
Yeah.
Non-harm, harm minimization. So even that, just changing our society a little bit like that for prevention. Mm.
Yeah, I agree. So great. Thank you. It's, good. It rings true for me, but it's great for me to be reminded of all those things.
Really good to hear from actually someone like yourself working on the front line like that. It's great to hear. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Alison, how about you? How are you going? What do you reckon?
Can I just talk? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I needed to do something. I'm pretty good, pretty good. For the first time yesterday, I had to wear a mask. I needed to get a blood test. And so I kind of understand now what people are saying, how it's very cloying on your face, but it's not so bad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In the big scheme of things, it's not that bad at all. But I was really trying to figure out why such an extreme reaction, and it's because of all this other stuff.
Yeah, and I think it scares people so much. But the other thing I noticed was there was a bit of a mix-up. I got a blood test, and I needed to go back into the doctor's surgery that was in the same building to pick up the form. And I'd rung first, and because she was annoyed about something else, I won't bother getting into that. She just said, just come on in. Like I said, shall I put my mask on to walk in? And I thought, how quickly people just forget it.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Yes. And I can remember first few times going out with a mask and being completely discombobulated, putting it on upside down and inside out, and then turning it around and putting it on and just going, Jesus, if actually there had have been a virus around me at the time, I'd just be rooted. So it's a lot of that is practice, isn't it? And we haven't had enough practice.
And yeah, and like the social distancing that June was talking about in the supermarkets, I just think people just are having trouble being aware every moment what they must do. Yeah,
which is pretty indicative of how dysfunctional our society is, because actually, you know, like as from a Buddhist point of view, we're trying to be aware of everyone all the time in the best possible way, and look how hard it is.
I do so much sidestepping and waiting. You know, when you're the only one that can make space when you're walking down the street and stuff. And usually people are really, you can see on their faces that they're happy you did it, because I think they're not sure how to negotiate that.
Yeah.
Either.
Actually, that's true, Alison. And that's one of the things of, you know, those three types of generosity, and the third one, giving the Dharma. On a more general level, it means educating others. So just by how we act normalizes it and helps others to feel okay about it, and that is actually a practice of generosity. And you know, it just takes a few people to do it, and then I even noticed here when we had our volunteer training, you know, everyone walked in, no one was wearing a mask, so I put on a mask. And then within about 10 minutes, a couple of other people had put on a mask too, but it took about 10 minutes. So you need to have someone to normalize it, just like you need to have someone in a group that can welcome people and, you know, tell them what to do, sit down or have a cup of tea or whatever all of those things are. You need someone to do that, and it's an educational thing, normalizes it. So that's just by you doing that, you're practicing generosity. Who knew, you know? But this way, it's it is literally a life and death way that you can, just by simple action like that, help others. They don't even have to know that it's happening.
No, it's sometimes when you're walking, you can see on their face that they're worried and they don't know what to do either.
And so then some kind of body language that we can do that expresses kindness.
And
we're kind of learning to do that on Zoom, aren't we, because we've just got this little box. You know, we have to figure out a way to communicate when we can't quite see everyone's expressions properly and things like that. So even that, helping us embody showing care and kindness is a really good thing. Yes, who knew there's so much in this, so many layers. And Jeanette, how about you?
Well, I saw it from the other end as well, because at the start of it in February, I was in the States with my daughter on the East Coast, so we kind of saw the whole thing unfold and then get how out of control it can get. So it was a little bit of a surprise to come back to Australia and see how people didn't seem to be aware of the distance, and that I was so used to everyone wearing a mask. and everyone keeping the distance, and you were only allowed, you would wait your turn to be allowed into the supermarket because they would only have so many people in at a time. And then I went shopping and this woman was right behind me, and I went like, you're a wee bit close there, you know. And I actually said, because I was used to that, you know, I did actually verbalize it and say, excuse me, but you are standing too close to me. Yeah, and she backed off then. But it's still surprised. I think because the numbers here have been so low, it's not really real for people in Queensland like it is for people in other states, because we haven't seen those numbers.
Yeah, so what was it like? How did the community kind of change like that? Was there a tipping point or
they were going by what the CDC there just came out and said, okay, now you all have to wear masks, and people got masks and you couldn't get them out. I made some masks, I've got some fabric masks. But now over there now still it just everybody wears a mask. It's they're used to it. It's a few months now, and it's normal now there for them to go out shopping. You know, they know that when they go outside, they have to take their mask. My granddaughter starts back at school next week, and she's only going 2 days a week. They've split the kids in two, and one lot go 2 days, and the other lot go 2 days, and the rest of the time they're watching the teacher online from home like this.
Okay. And
when they're in school, they have to wear their masks, and they're used to it. It's what they have to do. Yeah. So if it had been like that from the beginning here, then people wouldn't be such a big thing. But
yeah, I suspect that from the beginning here, I mean, what I've noticed is that people just don't like wearing masks, and then they have a whole lot of intellectual justifications that they put on the top of it.
Mask, yeah, yeah.
And I suspect that it's just a matter of pride. In the beginning, people didn't want to wear masks. The guys didn't want to because it was like a lowering of status, and the women didn't want to because, again, a different type of lowering of status, and it was just a pride thing. And what makes me think that is that when they shut down everything except essential services, and they kept hairdressers as an essential service. And I just thought, that is embarrassing, right?
In Pennsylvania, where I was, that definitely wasn't a thing. Yeah.
So clearly pride is just motivating this so much. And so I suspect in Australia, you know, right at the beginning, not having to wear a mask, and everyone kind of wide-adding the idea of, well, there's no point if you don't know how to wear one and whatever, misses the point.
And they don't, it's sort of a different in opinions as to how effective they wear, and, you know, but
yeah, and whereas actually the evidence is that even if everyone wears one wrong, it's better than not at all.
it like you said, keeps the social distance. Even regular, the normal flu that everybody gets every year, even the numbers for that are right down because of the social distancing and the masks and the hand washing. It's just protecting. That's it. And it's not... I mean, I've kind of got a bit annoyed at people who would, but now that you've said it's about fear, yeah, I can see how that would be. You know, it's a fear response because
it's a fear response, and it's probably the first time that it has been in someone's face, unless you have a relative that's been dying or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so extreme. But there's other things that come in too, like our difficulty of really integrating karma. Understanding karma, because karma has a time lag. You know, we do something in this life and we experience the results in the next life. And what we experience this life is mostly from our previous life, not from what we're doing now. So there's this massive time lag. And I just look at, like, you know, the time lag in Victoria of just 2 weeks. You know, you go down into total lockdown, stage four lockdown, and it takes 2 weeks to see the result, and how challenging that is to put it together. So no wonder we keep on creating suffering for ourselves, because karma has this time lag, just like external cause and effect has a time lag. So, you know,
granted that even although we know on an intellectual level that about impermanence and change, we still, when things start to fall apart so quickly around us, we're still shocked and we don't want to deal with it.
That's right. It's almost impossible for me to get my head around it, you know. And so I hear the numbers now and I think, what was happening 2 weeks ago that we were doing? I can't even remember that. And it's right there in front of us and it's so difficult to get our head around. So, you know, there's the karmic one, which really points out the nature of our samsaric existence, why it is so difficult to get out of samsara, like in this, it's kind of like applied Buddhism, isn't it? And then the pride one, of just how much our grasping at our identity, how important that is, that our government can actually legislate that a hairdresser is an essential service. And not only that, but no one remarked on it. Like, I just don't get it. Oh, and the pubs too. That's right, the pubs. And I don't know what happened with the brothels. No one ever said anything about the brothels. So, you know, but I could almost imagine a pub and a brothel, but a haircut, come on. I'll just end up thinking, oh, poor humans. So much in it. Yeah. So, I mean, as with everything, we've got to figure out how to be the education for others without putting them offside. And I mean, that's also like part of our Dharma thing too, isn't it? Not just to tell people, oh, this and this and whatever, but to kind of lead people or encourage people. But this one, I think, it's pretty tricky. So the other day I was in Bunnings and the Bunnings lady had this amazing face mask and it was like black and white camouflage and then it had lots of pink pom-poms along the top and diamantes. It was just extraordinary. And just like that, you look at her and you just couldn't help but smile. So that was an offering to others. It was great. So, you know, we can all be eccentric middle-aged women and just don our outrageous face mask and make it an offering to others. You know, like...
I made epoxy fabric for my son and I just made him a matching tie.
That's it. Actually, yes. So I have seen a set for the businessmen. Their handkerchief in their pocket, their tie and a matching silk mask. Armani. Hey! And you know, like June, Pearly, my friend who works at the hospital at what, it's not reception. What is it when people first all come in and
administration?
Yeah, like, and you have to figure, and they're in the waiting room, and she has to.
Oh, like the concierge type thing. Yeah.
So she always, because she's there behind the desk, she wears like cherry earrings and a cherry kind of shirt, you know, and makes it kind of fun. So that these people come in extremis and, you know, at least they've got something kind of a bit silly and kind of fun. So humanize it. Right. Well, thank you, everyone, for making my morning and for coming along. And may we all embody the Bodhisattva attitude. Body, speech and mind, so easy to do. And, you know, if we just spend, say, even the next week, every time we put on a mask or an apron or anything like that, going through what this means, very quickly it'll become automatic, so quickly. And then that is going to supercharge our Dharma practice. So let's dedicate every time that we put on a mask, may we lead all those sentient beings to enlightenment and everyone that sees us, may they be immediately relieved of all of their sufferings and their illnesses and attain the peerless state of enlightenment immediately. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Lovely to see you all.
Yeah, really good to see you all. Bye.